From St. Louis Public Radio. This is St. Louis on the Air.
It's the exact metabolic opposite of obesity, pure lipedema is. And we're trying to improve that treatment. We're looking for people to help us study it and learn how to get better. Even though it is a medical procedure, they only want to cover it as with a cosmetic code, and they, I mean, it's very disheartening.
I'm Sarah Fenske. Some studies suggest that as many as 11% of women suffer from lipedema. That's a lot of women. But here's the truly shocking part. In many cases, their physicians are ill-prepared to diagnose it. Some women truly suffer as a result. Dr. Thomas Wright is on a mission to change that. He's published numerous papers about lipedema and has a new study underway with the Washington University School of Medicine to explore how best to treat this condition. Dr. Thomas Wright is medical director of the Laser, Lipo, and Vein Center in O'Fallon, Missouri, and he joins us today to tell us more. Dr. Wright, welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you.
So let's start with the simple part. What exactly is lipedema?
So lipedema is a fat and connective tissue disorder that causes disproportionate accumulation of fat under the skin on the legs and arms, limbs of ladies. And as it progresses, it causes heaviness, tenderness, and then it starts to affect gait and function.
The way people are able to walk and move.
Yeah.
So how is it different than normal fat? You know, we all know people who are carrying around extra weight and that affects how they're able to move and walk. This is different.
Yeah. So first of all, I just want to say it is common and you probably, there's a lot of ladies, people know ladies who have the, just, you know, these lobules and on their legs or they're even when they're relatively slim, and so these lobules can then just by mechanical forces affect the gait and stance and then this fat is it's metabolically different, so it is it can cause it under the same circumstances with the same nutrition, it can double in size compared to non-lipedema fat.
And, you know, you showed me some photos of this as we were preparing for this interview, and it made me realize, oh, I have seen people where, you know, my best guess would be that they're suffering from this. It does look different. It's something we're going to tweet a link there at STL On Air. If people want to take a look at this, there's a very distinctive look to this kind of fat, and it can be very hard for people because you can become extremely large, mainly in the bottom half of the body, even though it doesn't seem to affect people as much on the top half the way maybe a normal overweight situation would. Is that common for people suffering from this?
Yeah. So it's the exact metabolic opposite of obesity. Pure lipedema is, and that it accumulates in the extremities, not viscerally, and it behaves metabolically different than normal fat that people and has effects. So obesity has more effects, you know, has risk of more risk of diabetes and heart disease, whereas lipedema fat does not. It's relatively insulin sensitive and as it accumulates, it can cause a secondary obesity, and then they have both lipedema and obesity, and those are it makes it even tougher to treat.
Because it makes it hard for people to move when they're carrying around this particular sort of heaviness.
Yes, yes.
So these photos, like I said, this kind of hit things home for me. I'm like, I have seen this out and about. And yet you say, and many studies have shown, that a lot of physicians miss this. even when it's right in front of them. How is that possible for something that presents in ways that seem somewhat obvious?
Well, so awareness is very poor. A recent study showed 92% of physicians couldn't recognize it when it presented to them, and then nurses and therapists and such also have a very poor awareness. It's literally staring right in front of you, and it's very unfortunate because we need to be the medical community and the population at large needs to be more aware of this.
You've mentioned that your own grandmother suffered from this. Is this something that where she was ever given a proper diagnosis?
Unfortunately, no. This was originally actually described at the Mayo Clinic in the 30s, but it was kind of forgotten, and it's really been just recently that in Europe and now more recently in the U.S. that we've refocused attention and brought more awareness, or at least trying to bring more awareness about it.
So you've published some case studies related to people who've had this and dealt with it for years because they weren't getting a proper diagnosis. And in some cases, these are some kind of harrowing case studies. Can you give us an example? How might a woman be affected by her physician just missing out on the fact that she has lipedema and she's struggling with this just thinking that she's overweight?
Right. There's some fairly tragic cases where the most extreme was a lady who was overweight and she also had lipedema. And she had a gastric bypass surgery and lost a great deal of weight and continued to lose weight. She became malnourished, and because she had the lipedema with the large, and this lipedema fat is relatively resistant to weight loss, then she continued to have large legs and arms, and her malnutrition really wasn't recognized. And so because they saw these large arms and legs and didn't appreciate that she could also be malnourished. And now she became very weak and actually needed to be hospitalized just to receive IV nutrition, which is very unfortunate, but she did, eventually recover.
They eventually figured this out. Dr. Wright, hearing this, I can't help but wonder if part of the fact that this was almost forgotten about after the Mayo Clinic discovered it is related to the fact that sometimes the medical community doesn't really see overweight people and they don't really see women because the physicians there don't necessarily relate to that on a personal level. Do you feel like that's maybe part of the problem with this?
I do, actually. I think that they, too much, I mean, too much of the medical community, because weight is such a touchy subject and a difficult subject. It's very complex, but the research in this lipedema is actually, kind of helping us better understand that, for example, the fat, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, the fat in lipedema is metabolically different, and so it's not always X calories in and Y calories expended doesn't always equate to a certain number of fat cells, and so this is so when we talk about these women will often present and say I diet, I am a good eater, and yet they still have large legs and arms, and I think they have been sadly not appreciated or not even not taken at their word.
So we've been talking a lot about the problem here, and we're talking today to Dr. Thomas Wright, who's the medical director of the Laser Lipo and Vein Center in O'Fallon, Missouri. But Dr. Wright, you're also here to talk about some solutions. There is some change happening on this. As you mentioned, the U.S. finally has standard of care guidelines for this disease. You were part of the group that helped publish those. So are there ways we can treat it once it's properly diagnosed, ways to help people so they don't have to deal with this?
Right. So there is no cure, but we can treat it effectively. And the treatment consists of compression. Diet is a crucial part of that. We do recommend a balanced low carb diet and compression and all these things are helpful. Those are the main. That's the compression, the diet, and lifestyle changes. Often lymphedema therapy. Those are the mainstays of the non-surgical. And then we are treating this surgically as well.
People can have it removed.
Yeah.
So the standards of care are now out there. They've been published. Are insurance companies on board for this and willing to pay for the people who truly need an intervention, whether that's surgery or whether that's the lymphatic care that you were talking about?
The standard care guidelines just published in the last year, and they have created policies, but they are the insurance companies are paying very poorly, or they now have some coverage, but they are not. They're making they have a lot of hurdles, and then even when you go through their hurdles, they are not wanting to cover it very well.
I'm sure people will be shocked to learn that insurance companies may be a problem with this. Is it that in some ways they want to treat this as just cosmetic versus understanding the huge impact it has on mobility?
Oh, very much. Even though it is a medical procedure, they only want to cover it as with a cosmetic code, it's very disheartening. The frustration is real, and we see it every day.
So one thing that you're working on with this, in addition to just trying to raise awareness about this condition, letting other physicians know what's right in front of them, you also have a study underway now at WashU Medical School. This is with funding from the Lipedema Foundation. What is that looking at specifically?
So this is I'm very excited about this study because the principal investigators, Dr. Sam Klein and then Vincenzo Cifarelli at WashU School of Nutrition. And we are enrolling people now to look at the effect of diet and weight loss on lipedema and body composition. And it's a very sophisticated study where we're doing MRIs and DEXA scans to show body composition and looking at metabolism in terms of with like sensitive insulin clamps and looking at insulin sensitivity and the tissue biology, and we're having them lose some weight, and then we re-study their body composition and their adipose tissue and their insulin sensitivity.
And so what are you hoping will come out of this study? I know it's still underway at this point. It may be too early to say.
Well, I think, it will help us, really appreciate. I mean, we know, as I was saying, it is somewhat resistant. The lipedema fat is somewhat resistant to weight loss. I mean, that's part of the original diagnosis, but we'll better understand how and how much it is resistant to weight loss, and we'll also understand, the tissue biology. The tissue has increased fibrous. the fat tissue has increased fibrousness and inflammatory cells, and we're going to get a better understanding of what makes this fat different. Mm-hmm.
So we got a question from a listener. This is Dr. Christopher Keating on Twitter. He writes, can your guest explain the difference between lymphedema and lipedema?
Yeah, so that is one of the principal things that distinguishes in the differential diagnosis, or when we had to diagnose it, it is different from pure lymphedema in that there are also some overlaps. So the main difference is lymphedema is purely a lymphatic issue where there's some obstruction to flow of the lymph, and it, you know, presents it generally presents distally on the limbs, and then or at the feet and hands, and then progresses. But lipedema also affects the lymphatics, but it's primarily a fat tissue disorder, and spares the hands and feet of limbs it affects.
So, Dr. Thomas Wright, you've been so helpful in walking us through this condition, something I had not been aware of prior to this conversation today. What's one thing that you're hoping to leave us with today for people who may be intrigued by this conversation and want to know more?
Well, so, I mean, first of all, I think it's common. Most of the listeners probably know someone who may have this or has at least the characteristics of it. There's effective treatment. We're trying to improve that treatment, and we're looking for people to help us study it and learn how to get better.
So if you're somebody who you think you might be suffering from this, you may want to reach out to the Laser Lipo and Vein Center in O'Fallon, Missouri. They can ask you some questions, find out if you'd be a good fit for this study, or you can just get more information about this. We'll get all of that information on our website for people who want to know more. Dr. Thomas Wright, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Sarah. It was a pleasure.
Today's episode was produced by Sarah Fenske, with audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr. Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.